This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Turkey. Turkey is at the center of the controversy understood to be, does the grain fleet leave Black Sea or not? The question is not to be answered, but it does remind how Turkey's at the center of everything. A great power, member of NATO, led by President Erdogan, a strong-minded man with influence that extends into NATO. It required Mr. Erdogan to approve of Sweden and Finland's applications, not yet validated by the parliament, but in any event, Erdogan signed on. It also includes the doubts about Erdogan and his relationship with Russia, now practicing aggression in Ukraine. I welcome Sinan Chidi of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing most recently at the National Interest about how it is that you deal with a man who is at once a bad actor and critical to the Ukraine crisis and also to that Black Sea basin that is now permanently at risk with Russian aggression. Sinan, a very good evening to you. It's a mixed story. Is this appeasement to ignore Erdogan's bad acting in the recent past and ongoing in Syria? And what do you get from it? Right now, what are the advantages to NATO? What are the advantages to Ukraine to look away from Erdogan's misconduct these many years? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you for having me again. Interesting question. One could say that Turkey is, to an extent, necessary to prosecute our war or our conflict against Putin's Russia, because it is so vital on the eastern flank of NATO, its geostrategic position. The fact that Turkey has sold a limited but significant amount of weapons to the Ukrainians, notably drones, which have been highly effective against Russian forces in terms of eliminating tanks and other armored vehicles. But on the other hand, Turkey does not back the international sanctions that the West has levied upon Russia, citing concerns that its economy and energy needs are fundamentally integrated into Russian supply lines, which ultimately end up being true. But Turkey does seem to be sitting on the fence in terms of trying to balance interests between its responsibilities towards NATO in terms of containing Russia, but also ensuring that its economy does not suffer catastrophic consequences from taking a hardline position against Vladimir Putin.
The concern I have is, in your article, National Interest, you very carefully explicate a series of decisions made by Mr. Erdogan that are exactly in opposition to NATO, to the United States, to Europe, and to the whole region. I begin quickly by saying, ISIS, remember when ISIS was a threat to peace in the Middle East? And I was told at the time, Sinan, before our conversation started, long before, that for reasons having to do with self-interest, Turkey was making it possible for people, young men and women coming from Europe, to flow right into Syria and feed the ISIS army that was at that time a threat to civilization. And you write of it as a jihadi highway. First, is it confirmed that that was an official policy by the government in Ankara? And second, has there ever been an explanation for why that decision, why he permitted ISIS to rip apart a nation?
So there are numerous confirmed journalist accounts and reports from the time that confirmed that Turkey was turning a blind eye to foreign fighters coming across the Turkish border, undeterred by Turkish authorities, to join the ranks of ISIS, mainly because this was Erdogan's policy at the time to essentially help any forces that could topple the Assad regime, which Erdogan had a strong position against, but also subsequently to contain the Kurdish entities within Syria from essentially establishing too much of a big presence, something which has really sort of been a thorn in Erdogan's side, particularly since the Kurdish forces are allied with the United States to overcome the ISIS threat. But Erdogan has continued down this line of being unreliable and really stymieing what I would call the security interests of the allied side or the allied world, so to speak. Numerous infractions, and most recently, basically holding NATO hostage to to expansion to include Finland and Sweden to become its newest members, citing concerns, which I don't believe to be sincere, that Finland and Sweden are harboring so-called terrorists, which are allied to the separatist organization in Turkey called the PKK, the Kurdish organization. There are no doubt actually Kurdish fighters, PKK members within the ranks, amongst especially Sweden. But Turkey wants those people extradited back to Turkey, where there is a significant lack of rule of law. And Turkey's basically said, unless you make good on our demands to hand some of these people over, then I'm not going to allow these two countries to join. But, you know, NATO and Turkey have reached some sort of compromise to say that Sweden and Finland will entertain or look closely at the requests in a memorandum of understanding. But Turkey's essentially saying, unless those people are extradited, the Turkish parliament will not ratify NATO expansion to include those two members. So essentially, Turkey's holding hostage NATO expansion based on Erdogan's own personal demands.
Looking at the depredations caused by ISIS, yes, that's crude, it's medieval, but the Erdogan and your national interest piece is a bad actor when it comes to modern confrontation as well. He's a threat to Cyprus, he's a threat to Greece, and he's certainly a threat to the security of NATO by taking in the S-400 system and demanding that the U.S. or its allies provide high-end warplanes for his army. So it's a puzzle. Who does he work for? Who does he represent? Is he against NATO? Is he against the Eastern Mediterranean? Is he for Russia? Can we say, Sinan?
So Erdogan is in it for himself. People who propagate that Turkey is too big of an ally to let slip or let fail. It is important to note that Turkey has essentially not acted in any positive way that lives up to its treaty obligations towards NATO. The fact that Turkey did purchase and deploy, although not yet operationalized, Russian missile defense systems on its own soil is something that removed Turkey from the F-35 fighter plane program, but has also resulted in congressional U.S. sanctions to be levied upon Turkey, which was a final straw. It has threatened the expansion of NATO. Erdogan is soon destined to travel to Cyprus in the upcoming weeks, and there are fears that he may actually use that as a pretext to annex the northern part of the island to Turkey, which would be a foreign policy catastrophe and serve to destabilize the Eastern Mediterranean status quo even further. He has already threatened European Union and NATO powers within the Mediterranean littoral, citing non-recognition of drilling rights by said countries. It is still not backing Russian sanctions, even though it has legitimate economic concerns. So if he does not play by any of its treaty obligations towards entities such as NATO or its strategic partnership with the United States, what does he get? What does the West get out of him? Which was the main premise by my article, which is to suggest that he is only concerned for his own political outcomes vis-a-vis mainly his re-election as president, a date which we still don't have, either late this year or early to sometime next year.
My favorite image from the 1930s associated with the word appeasing or appeasement was a British lord observing that we're petting the head of a crocodile in hopes of making it purr. Is that what NATO does with Erdogan, pet the head of a crocodile?
That's a good way of putting it. The United States, the West, the European Union has been dealing with Erdogan for nearly 20 years now. There is no new thing that we haven't thought of, right? We've seen how he behaves on the international stage as a spoiler, as an agitator. I just do not understand why they essentially don't basically stand on their principles to realize their own security objectives. Vis-a-vis Sweden and Finland entry into NATO, there is one clear position that NATO could take vis-a-vis Erdogan, which is to say there are literally 29 members which would like these countries to join without any provisos. Stand behind it or get out of the way. And if you don't allow accession of these two members by using a veto, then we can extend security guarantees to these two countries with or without your help.
Right.
So I don't understand why they do this, because they're allowing themselves to be held hostage to Erdogan's demands, which can be argued to be irrational and insincere.
Sinan Chidi for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing at the National Interest. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.